Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. First of all, if you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like, as we love bringing you this content that you've grown to love, and we feel so blessed to be able to do this. And we thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Well, today we have a great guest. I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be an awesome conversation. See, he's already laughing. The thing is, him and I know each other, and we actually have worked together.
Yes, sir.
Teaching, and of course, he's a coach as well. He's a former missionary, and he's got a lot of other fun pieces to his background. I think he even played a little bit of overseas professional football.
You're right. That's right.
I was going to say, see, I did my digging. I was paying attention. I know the background. So,
yes, sir.
Anyway, Kirk Benson is joining us. A lot of people know him as Coach Kirk Benson. He is, like I said, he's got this wide variety of background. He's lived in all kinds of locations. He knows all about what the 1040 zone is and all those things. And so he's here to impart some wisdom on us today. And he's going to be, you know, giving you guys an amazing story. So, and his story is amazing, just like all the ones that God wants to write on your life. So without further ado, Kirk Benson, welcome to the show.
Hey, TS, appreciate you. Thanks for having me. Glad it worked out. So it's going to be exciting.
This is perfect, man. For those of you that don't know this, him and I are off. It's a snow day.
That's right.
So we had plenty of time to work on, man.
Plenty. Exactly. Let's make it happen.
So, Kirk, why don't you do this for our audience? Go ahead and tell them about talk about your story and how God has really shaped your journey.
Well, it all starts, and it's all really related. The storyline, the thread through it all is athletics and coaching. My story began, I went to Henderson State University. Right across the street is Wichita Baptist University. It's one of the biggest rivals in all of Arkansas, but all in the country. It'll be 100 years that they've played that game in 2 years. So it's pretty exciting. So two schools back to back, you can imagine the rivalry. There's a doctor there, Dr. Cluck, who had college Bible study, and he had those Bible studies dispersed throughout the town of Arkadelphia, a small 4A town with two colleges. One of the volunteers of this Bible study, a host of this Bible study, was also one of my football coaches at Henderson State. So he asked me one day after practice, he said, "Benson, would you like to come to the house for Bible study?" And I said, I don't know. I wasn't a believer. I grew up in the suburb of Memphis, living life for self-promotion, but also had a 4.0 and worked on being perfect to certain eyes as well. So I had that dual face, really two-faced. Just the way I approached life was, if it promoted me, that was what I wanted. And it was a very prideful, self-centered life. So, of course, when Coach asked me, I was like, "I don't know what's in it for me." He said, "Well, I'll let you know." He said, "My wife's a really good cook, and she's going to have some homemade food." Well, that's big time for a college football player.
Amen.
So he said, and then he said, "There's 14 OBU girls that meet there with us as well. Only one of them has a boyfriend." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Then we, private Baptist school girls, and then they were studying about Jesus." I said, "Well, Coach, can I come for the first two?" He said, "You sure can." And so I came for the first two, and there The guy that was leading the Bible study was actually one of our campus ministers there. And he connected with me right away about turkey hunting, duck hunting. I'm from Eastern Arkansas, the Delta, as people know it. So all the duck hunting you can do. And then in Northeast Arkansas, turkey hunting. And we connected about hunting and camping and fishing. And so it was really awesome. I would visit in the kitchen and talk with those things. The volunteer coach gave me a Bible. And I said, well, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this Christianity thing out. I'm going to get that Bible. I'm going to wake up every day at 5:30, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to figure it out. So I'm good to go and press the ladies on that Wednesday night Bible study. So I would get up and I'd read it. And it read like Mandarin Chinese. It read like Hungarian. I couldn't understand it. And so I just kept plowing, kept trying to understand it. Then would go on Wednesday nights to get some explanations of it. And during that time, it was about a 6-month period there that, I don't know if you've read, you know, the reference Pilgrim's Progress. But it was like he was carrying a burden, a 50-pound sack, a 50-pound, maybe even more than 50 pounds, 100 pounds on his back. And that was the first time I had ever wrestled with sin. Meanwhile, there was a young lady, one of the young ladies at that Bible study in the midst of this 6 months, that her dad was a pastor, and she gave me a book. He gave her a book to give me. And some of you may know what it is, but the first sentence I read in the first chapter on day one was, "This life's not about you, it's about God." And I'd never heard that, and it floored me. It's Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose was the book that was given. And that this girl that I had interest in, one of the OBU girls, her dad, the campus minister, my coach, all of those things over a 6-month time collided. And I went back for one weekend at my church in Marion, and where I grew up, and before I came back for summer football practice. And it was like I heard the gospel for the first time. My eyes were open, my ears were unplugged, my heart of stone was removed, and I had a heart of flesh, and I repented and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And then 2 weeks later, I was baptized. I was born again. I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as soon as that happened, I started praying in my teammates' lockers and sharing Christ with other people, getting involved with campus ministry. And that just kind of was the launching point for the storyline. The thread was athletics and coaching. So our foundation from that point on, then later that girl, obviously I dated her, and then she said she'd marry me. We got married, had 4 kids, and we lived all over the world. So that's kind of the fast forward part. But the thread through it all, and kind of you and I were talking the other day, TS, about this, was discipleship. And I know that word has a lot of connotations, but being in someone's home, that Bible study atmosphere, the doing life, the rubbing shoulders, seeing the Holy Spirit active, because that was something that was wild. I'd look across the room, the living room, and see they were like turning the pages of the Bible. They were listening and engaging with the text in Mark or Matthew, Luke or John when we were studying about the life of Jesus. And it floored me. But if I hadn't have been in that home and in that environment, then I wouldn't have seen the Holy Spirit at work in their life. So we've kind of kept that. That's been our kind of the way we roll as a family that we have overseas. And as soon as I finished and graduated college, I started teaching school and coaching football. And then I started, I got discipled for about 3 years from a youth pastor who was becoming a pastor, going through the Treasuring Christ Together church planting residency out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, out of Bethlehem Baptist, John Piper's church. So they had the opportunity to plant anywhere in the United States, and they just had a burden to come back to Memphis. And so I was a part of that core group. My wife and I started our family there. And again, discipleship, athletics was the theme, was the storyline. And through that, God used. We went to a conference together for the gospel where a bunch of pastors and preachers and teachers got together for the gospel. And it was at that conference we felt the Lord was putting on our heart to live overseas. And we got an opportunity through an international organization to work with athletics again and coaching. And then through that, I was able to, 10 years after I'd played college football, I was able to still play professional football. I kind of came out of retirement, and we had some awesome opportunities through that. And then CrossFit became a big way to kind of engage a platform for our cities. And we were working on that at our last stop in Berlin, Germany. So it's funny, we were in language school. We had the kids. I made my first tackle. Like, it was a tackle for loss in the backfield. I played nose guard. And in German, they were like, even after 10 years, he still got it. And I was like, somebody had to translate that for me. I was like, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. So, but man, that's a quick, fast, and in a hurry snapshot. But I just wanted to make sure that theme was something that you and I may discuss a little further here. But discipleship, home, Bible, athletics, sports, coaching.
Amen. So let me ask you a question. You've obviously you worked overseas, was doing mission work. Talk a little more in depth about some of that experience. Maybe, you know, give an example of an encounter where you were able to lead somebody to Christ, where you saw lives changed.
Yeah, one of the main really using language learning as an excuse was a big deal for us. So some of the college guys that I played football with, some of the people involved in the organization, I was able to, hey, I need to learn the language. I need to learn it fluently. And, you know, there was a word in German, Seelsorger, but so like soul mentor, like it was kind of life coach, soul mentor was kind of the connotation of the meaning. And I was like, you know, that's what I'm here for. Can you help me learn the Bible? So we would meet whatever was open after practice or a couple times a week and read the Bible with a young gentleman that I got to know through football. And that quickly moved to him having interest in the Bible and kind of wanting to have a better understanding of who God was, what it meant to be a believer. So we moved. McDonald's wasn't, it was in the city center. So McDonald's was the only thing that was kind of open. So we moved it to Starbucks, and it was in the city center because public transportation is a big deal. So, you know, most people don't have a car, even a 25, 28, 29 year old. Public transportation is the way to get there. So we wanted a easy, it's called Hauptbahnhof. So like the central train station. Right off of that was a Starbucks. We started meeting there, and they kind of grew out of that through different connections in the city. People helping me set up my Wi-Fi, people helping me set up my cell phone, people through football, just a sense of vulnerability and authenticity. We started having a group. We had a group of about 6 to 7 people, 12 at times, 3 at times, that met at Starbucks every other Monday night. Through just our connections, our relationships, and who we met in the city. And we started reading the Bible. Then we did Discovery Bible Study, which is kind of a system that we try to do with teaching the Word, making the Word the central focus of our study. So it's the three-thirds process: look back, look up, look forward. And we start with the 7 stories of hope. So through that, the 7 stories of hope, and how we kind of ran that, we call it DBS, but Discovery Bible Study, Training, Discipleship. It's evangelism. It's all wrapped up in one because you're proactive in the questions you ask and the way you facilitate. And it just leads people to who have interest to wrestle with who God is through His Word, similar to what happened to me in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, at just being invited by a coach to his home. And that's kind of the way that we presented it. You know, Starbucks has they have a way to describe how they design their Starbucks, especially overseas and in Europe. And they call it the principle of third place. that it's not yours, it's not mine, but it's ours. And that right. third place became where we connected through the Word of God. And shortly after that, right there in the river in Dresden, Germany, we had a guy that accepted faith. He was converted, similar situation, six to eight months of wrestling who God was, and became a believer, was baptized there. Amen. And it was the first baptism in East Germany in like 4 years. It's, you know, East Germany has a history of communism. So there's a lot of trust and relationship issues there that you have to build. So we were thankful and excited, and he continued to start groups continued to start, through all those relationships. So.
Amen. And it just shows, you know, hey, the Holy Spirit can move through any situation. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where it is, when it is, how it is, you know, even in the darkest areas, God will shine his light. And so we always have to remember that. And so we didn't want to just be, you know, people watching the train go by. We mm-hmm. need to get on the train.
That's
and we
right.
need to be sharing our faith. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, you need to learn. You know what? You don't have to jump out your first day and start sharing your faith. What your first step is to train.
Yeah,
it truly is. Training is the key here. And so, mm-hmm. and Kirk and I both have coached, and he still coaches, mm-hmm. and I've coached. So we understand the value of training, because training mm-hmm. is at the core of being able to perform. It truly
That's right.
is.
That's
training
right.
is at the core, and it's a constant. Training never ends. It truly mm-hmm. doesn't. So, Kirk, I'm going to just let you elaborate on that.
Yeah, you mentioned something there. There's a vulnerability to sharing the gospel. Like we even put it in our system of our three thirds: look back, look up, look forward. And so when you have the story and you work through the story with a tool we use called Speca, the very first part of every meeting is the first third, which is the look back. Who did you have a chance to share this story with? Now, maybe someone's not even a believer, or they're wrestling with who God is, but they can tell the story of Jesus and turn water into wine. Like if that's our first story of hope, or they can tell the story of Zacchaeus, like, hey, I did share that story, and it had some good, you know, it had some really good conversation with my colleague, my coworker. So, and you're just learning to share stories, learning to share conversations that go beyond just the weather and your hobbies. And there's a vulnerability to that. You know, I just used my lack of being able to speak the language, and you submit in a very vulnerable way to the people around you. And that's really a release to let God work in your life and through the person that's helping you. Like, here's my credit card. Here's my cell phone bill. Can you help me set this up, man? There's nothing like being totally vulnerable in that way. And then they see that in you, and the authenticity in that, and that just builds some strong connection. And so to get back to your point about training and discipleship, how important that is. Like we used to say, you know, someone who came to faith in the Lord and had their Bible, and had a training on your story, my story, and his story, you know, you could send them out as church planners. You know, I was reading through Mark and Psalm with a colleague of mine every day at lunch, and it's just exciting. We're reading like Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, going through in Mark 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, Mark chapter 4, it was something I was thinking about, and we talked about it the other day. The demon-possessed man, you know, he was healed. We know that entire chapter. And then it says, Mark 4, verse 18, it was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. And we know later that's huge, because there's such a big movement of God in that area. But we think man, he was just demon possessed. Doesn't he need some, you know, doesn't he need to spend like 3 or 4 years locked up with Jesus before he's, you know, feels like he's good enough to share? And he's like, let me hang out with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, what's the most natural thing to do? Go to your home and your friends and tell them what the Lord has done. That's the best training you can have, because you have that relationship with the people in your home and your friends and your oikos, Greek word for your relationship lines. So he was, in essence, trained with what he needed to be trained, and Jesus trained him on the spot. This is what you need to tell him. Tell him what the Lord has done. And now, of course, that's pretty much the three-thirds mindset, and the training and discipleship is train them in what they know, train them in what the Lord has done, and they'll teach them to tell their story. If they don't have a story yet, let's look at the seven stories of hope. You can share stories of hope. Those stories from the New Testament are getting told, and you never know when that's going to hit them. So that repetitive training is, it has to have that component of, it's not that difficult. You know, like you have to reassure them that there's, like, you don't need a seminary degree. You don't need 3 or 4 years of, you know, Bible teaching. You need the Holy Spirit empowering you through the gospel. You need a redeemed mind and heart. You need some words from Jesus and your natural relationship lines. You already have the places you can go to tell a story. And that's the basis of our training and what we would say discipleship, mentoring. There's different words, but I like you said, I do a lot with training and performance, like at building athleticism through the weight room and speed. And there's, when you train that, then kids have confidence. They realize they can be fast. They can jump high. They can be bouncy. Same way with this gospel repetition in the thirds is train them, teach them. And if you do that in your Bible study meetings, instead of if you're talking the whole time, or you don't leave room for discussion, or there's no place for them to wrestle with a story, and you're not really training that fast reproduction, which, man, it's, our time is short and our opportunities are limited. So we want simple, rapid reproduction. And we feel like this training has been in European context, which I think would be very applicable to, you know, United States context now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We've, one of the things too, that, like in the discipleship guides, that in the discipleship books that I've written mm-hmm. is that, you know, we have a formula that we go through, and it's basically the C's. You know, it's content, then it's mm-hmm. contemplation, which is questions, and then it's a call to action, and then it's consider before the next lesson. So that way there is discussion points, there's content to embrace, there's discussion mm-hmm. points, and then there's a call to action. You know, mm-hmm. that we are required to do something mm-hmm. in some form or fashion. You know, just saying, hey, okay, learning knowledge for knowledge's sake, that is not what we're called to do. And I think mm-hmm. you've reiterated that point very well here. And yeah. I hope you guys listening are just embracing this, because as you embrace truth, we want it to lead to action. We want to lead right. not only to growth, but part of that growth is taking the gospel and going out. That is such a big piece. So Kirk, as a wrap up here, just, you know, kind of give us just a quick wrap up, you know, just, something simple for us to kind of digest. And, you know, if there's any type of ministries or anything you want to promote, now's the time.
Well, I appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter at Benson Kirk. That's kind of and then I have Instagram, but, I kind of want to promote that, is that there's obviously through your ministry, we have this opportunity to speak today, but I want the regular kingdom citizen to know they have a priesthood. They have the Holy Amen. Spirit in them and through them. They don't need special training, special conferences. They just need to lean into the power of the Holy Spirit, look at their natural oikos, their natural relationship lines, like Timothy said, things I've entrusted to you, entrust to others, And that's the four generation multiplication that we want to see. Go to your workplace, go to your hobbies, go to your favorite coffee shop. Don't do anything out of your routine. Just open your eyes to see you are a kingdom citizen and a kingdom agent, and find some stories in the New Testament that you could share that are applicable. You know, we may get on another time and talk about the seven stories of hope or some of the SPECA, some of the resources or three thirds that we use, but Amen. Find a story, go share that story and ask people, hey, what does this tell you about God? What do you think about the Lord Jesus through this story? And start there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, Amen. Sir.
So, in wrapping up, Kirk, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Man, we're definitely looking forward to having you back on here where we can have another awesome, fun, fruitful discussion. And I also want to say thank you to the Kingdom Crossroads community for being a part of this. And so for myself and Kirk, as I always wrap up, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.